destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go.
Good morning, and welcome to another Sunday of Michelle Speaks Ministries. I am Pastor Michelle Lawrence, and ever grateful to have yet another week with you. We are in the fourth week of the new year. Can you believe that we are 4 weeks in? We are 4 weeks in, and so much has transpired, but God still gets the glory. All things are still going to work together for the good. Why? Because He is in control. Let us open with prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We're ever grateful that last night wasn't our last night, that you touched us yet again this morning, and that we have full activities of our limbs. God, that we had a sound mind. All of these things we're making back available to you, oh God, that we would be the vessel, because God, you are the visionary and the voice. Give us all that we stand in need of, that we would execute on your plan and your plan alone. These are the things that we're asking in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you know how we do. We like to get it started. And since this is the day He has made, we're going to start with This Is the Day by Fred Hammond.
One, turn it up.
Yeah.
Jam. Shout to the Lord in here. You know that He's good and His mercy endures forever. And the people of God said, they said, what the? And the people of God said, yeah. The people of God said, yeah. Now we serve notice to depression, confusion, all manner of evil and every sickness. You came in a bind, but you cannot stay, cause the people of God, we ain't having it. It's a good day, even though I cried last Tuesday and I was out of cash. By Friday, no matter what comes next, I'm gonna stand up and give it the praise. Cause this is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made.
Oh, y'all know that one, don't you?
I will rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And he has given us reason to rejoice. It says, as I look back all the years that I've made it through, I can't imagine that I would be here if it wasn't for you. How your favor rests upon me, I could never express. And so ever grateful to God for all that he has done and is doing. It is the fourth Sunday. And you know what that means. The women are on board, y'all. The women are here. They're here. They're here. So, you know, we're moving through this because we've got some stuff to talk about in these first 4 weeks. Now, she's unleashed today. She done got her whole cover look on. And I'm here to tell you she's about to uncover some things. But we're going to get to the scripture because that's what's next. We're going to get there. Amen. We are talking today from the book of Joshua, the sixth chapter. And I'll be reading the 12th through the 17th verse, and it reads as follows. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once, returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to the destruction and bring trouble to it." When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. I've just read for you Joshua, the 6th chapter, and I went further, the 12th through the 20th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. We're going to spend some time talking about crumbling walls today. We have some fantastic women, and today's conversation is going to be about walls coming down. Walls coming down. Things crumbling in this season. Right after we have this selection called Jericho.
Faith gave us power and authority. All praise and glory be to El Shaddai, the Almighty God, who by faith gave us power to shout to the world.
I see walls trying to shut up the kingdom of God. God's building up Joshua's coming in, the walls come down.
Come in down.
Come on and walk around.
Come down,
walls come crumbling down, we gonna shout till the walls come down. You know she's up next with a segment, and then we gonna have some good conversation. We have none other than Andrea Lawful Saunders, who's about to give us a lawful truth, followed by our millennial moment by Janelle, and then we gonna talk about some walls, y'all. We gonna talk about some walls, but I gotta bring her in right. You know I gotta bring her in right. It's Andrea Lawful Saunders.
You're all I need to get by. You're all I need.
As long as I got you, then baby, you know that you got me over. I got our love and some R-E-S-P-C-T-O.
Well, well, good morning. I am Andrea Lawful Saunders, and welcome to A Lawful Truth, the segment on the Michelle Speaks radio show that talks about the definition of love. What does it mean to us, depending on where we are in our lives? How it is demonstrated, and what does it require to have, embrace, and keep such a love? All of my stories will be mostly centered around a man many know as Mr., and it's my beloved husband, John, who has been nothing short of a blessing, hilarity, and lessons wrapped up in one delightful savant. Today, I get to talk to you with, I usually pre-prepare my pieces and I would write them out, and I wrote a piece and decided to scrap it at the last second. So today I'm just talking to you from my heart. Today's lesson is, what is your diet? 2020 was so interesting. Happy New Year to all of you. We have not spoken to you since we ended 2020. And quite frankly, 2021 has been so interesting. I am calling it December 48th, 2020. I'm not quite sure that I've reached into 2021 yet, right? It has been, I don't even know where to go with all of this. You see, Michelle and Janelle, listen, I'm just keeping it, as the young people would say, 100 in these Wakanda streets. We've had a medical diagnosis, my husband and I. He has had two surgeries. We had COVID-19, and then COVID-19 came out with some variant strains, and then we had a vaccine, two people fighting over the vaccine, Moderna and Pfizer, and then we had an election that they had to rectify it and certify it 442 times like they did around the wall of Jericho before the current president decided that he was leaving the White House in two more days, right? And so it has been an interesting, and then on top of all of that, we had insurgents that walked right up to the Capitol, incited by the current president, which by the time you see this, there will be no current president, it will be Joe Biden. So praise the Lord in these Wakandan streets. And, you know, I know, this is why I write my stuff out, because I get really in it, right? And so they walked up to the Capitol and the police officers opened the gates and let them in and took selfies with them. And I'm watching this with my husband and I said, well, Black Jesus, what are we doing here? Right. And my husband said to me, Andrea, we've got to take a look at that. No matter how far we've come in this country, we still have a long way to go, that we have to take precautions. Now, we've been talking about this for several years. Michelle is very aware. My husband and I have been talking about this for several years. We have been preparing. We started out by slowly buying a little bit of meat here and there, you know, stocking up our refrigerator, looking for a generator, things that a lot of people can't even afford to do. But we were taking our time. So yeah, I've been prepared. God prepared me from 2016. And I kept trying to tell everybody that I knew around the walls of Jericho that this was coming. Well, the time is now upon us and we're sitting here trying to figure out what to do. So I said to my husband, look, we know that this is here. The Federal Bureau of Investigations are telling us that for this, you know, for the next foreseeable future, that Black and brown people have to be very careful, right? It is a hard place to be in and a bitter place to swallow, because what we've realized is that people in the highest level of government were involved in this insurgence, that we have people in the military involved, we have police officers involved. And the reason why the country erupted in 2020 amidst a virus was because Black and brown people were being killed with impunity. What do we have? God. right? And we tend to forget that God is not just an abstract thing for us. And he gave us wisdom and he told us what to do. And he gave us a sound mind and he said, this is coming. See, because if we're paying attention to God, he talks to us in our sleep. You know, in the time of the morning when we don't want to get up and it's 2 o'clock and we're going, but Jesus, why am I waking up this time of the morning? But God, I need 2 more hours of sleep. And he said, get up. Because that was God telling us this was coming and we had to get ourselves together. And so we got up. My husband and I said to him, I said, I don't know what's going on. Let's figure it out. We bought gas masks. We have, you know, we bought candles. We've stocked up on big containers that we can fill with water. You know, in olden days, black folks would fill up the bathtub. Yeah, we're going back to fill up the bathtub too. We have candles so that if the electricity is gone or if the power grid goes out, you see, we only consider water and toilet paper. We don't think about the fact that we could lose our telephone service, that we could lose access to the internet service. So we got this wind-up radio that we wind up so we can get anything that we need to do. That is where we are in this country. And so while we were getting people prepared and getting ourselves prepared, the thing that came to me was fear not. Fear not. You knew this was coming. I told you to tell folks it was coming. You prepared as many people as you can. So fear not. And here's the other thing that I want to tell all of you on this Martin Luther King Day on January 18, 2021, when so many people sat in at counters 61 years ago and were spat on and trampled over and cops beat them and hosed them down, that we have to understand that as crazy as it looks in this country right now, that we are in a much better place than we were, that we're making incremental steps to being love, to doing what we need to do to a place of love and kindness. Are we always going to have some folks that are going to turn against us? Yes. But do you not know that Jewish people bled and died in 1967 when they were sitting at the council, that they were hung, that they risked their lives to make sure that we were going to be okay, that this was not just a black movement, it was a movement filled with allies for us. So here's the diet that my husband and I talk about when we look at this scenario. What is your diet? Is your diet one of love and peace and kindness? Is your diet one of looking out for the people that are around you? Because that's what my husband and I did. We didn't buy Christmas gifts. We fed people. We looked out for someone who may not have had a good holiday that couldn't pay their rent. That's what our diet was. Our diet consisted of kindness, humility, loving the people around us, making sure that folks were okay. What is your diet? Is your diet divisiveness? Is your diet one of looking at everything going down the drain instead of seeing that the bathtub is half full? Is your diet one of looking at the history that was before us and saying, what part can I play in history to make sure that we never go down this path again? Is your diet one of looking for a man that looks cute on the outside but is rotten to the core on the inside? Because he's just so cute and God said he sent your husband because he was singing well on the choir. Is that your diet? Or is your diet one of looking at the core values of the people that are around you and saying, you know what? They may not present themselves as cute. Look at me. Cute as a button right now, right? Michelle was making fun of me today. But is your diet one where you just keep saying, I'm so cute and nobody can tell me anything, and you don't see what the value people bring on the inside? Is that your diet? I really challenge each and every one of you to take a different look. It is 2021. We cannot continue to go down the same pathway, and many will lose themselves and will lose their lives out of stubbornness, right? Out of following their own way. What is your diet? And who do you serve? And who do you believe when God sends a message to us and tells us that we are to prepare? I am asking you now to choose. Choose ye this day, because the walls are coming down. And where are you going to be when the walls come down? What side are you going to be on? Is your home going to be marked with love and peace and kindness so that the angel of death will go by it? Or is your home going to be marked with strife and confusion? Because God is weeding us out, y'all. This ain't just about relationships and finding the perfect mate. This is about how we live our lives. How are you living? And what is your diet? Until next time, show the love, give the love, be the love so you can receive the love you deserve.
Well, that was a whole sermon. A whole sermon. What's your diet? What's your diet? Your whole sermon. A whole sermon. Whole sermon. Can't wait to finish up that part when we get to the rapid round. Just a whole, what's your diet? What's your diet? What you eating? Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. But grateful to Andrea, who always comes with the truth, which is why it's called a lawful truth, because she brings forth the truth. And so ever grateful for her and all that she does with us on this show. And we now have up next her daughter, you know, part two. It is a millennial moment, and it is brought to you by none other than the magnificent Janelle LaRue.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. That was a word with a capital W-O-R-D-D-D-D-D-D. I'm going to be super transparent with what I'm talking about, but I will say this. God has a way of lining up a whole show. We always talk about this. We don't talk about it. And everything, I'll get into what I'm going to say, but glory be to him for just the way that he moves and his such a magnificent way that we will never understand, nor should we try, because it's just way above us. So, the millennial moment. We're going to get into a new year perspective. So moving into 2021, I have been seeking to identify the work God is giving me to do. And I'm clear that it may not be what I've already done. It could be a different direction totally. And honestly, it may not even look like what I'm expecting it to be. The new year began with 21 days of corporate fasting and prayer. And I've written down all the things I'm believing for in this time. But I decided to go a little wider this time, instead of being more specific like I usually am. So I asked for a renewed mind, renewed body, and renewed spirit. And one of the early devotions was around purpose. And I read all the prescribed verses, and sometimes I even read the entire chapter for context, which is a good skill. This day, I sought way more. And in my search, I kind of stumbled on John chapter 17, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And I stopped in my tracks and I sat with it. And it finally dawned on me. That's purpose. That's purpose. You've been asking for clarity and here it is. And the work is individual. It's different for each person. But I finally understand I've been walking in it the entire time. And many of us have. The underlying goal of everything that we do is to bring God glory on earth by finishing the work he gave us to do. So what has he given me to do? What has he given us to do? The question in the daily reflection becomes, am I finishing the work you gave me to do, and does it bring you glory? And this is the heart posture that we have to have, as everything we do flows from our heart, which is Proverbs 4:23. And it requires obedience. This is amazing. Listening to Joshua, that was obedience. That was purpose. That was discernment. Listening to his guidance. And dare I say, grit. The combination of passion and perseverance for a singularly important goal. And it's never short-term work, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. However, the point is to bring God glory on earth by finishing the work he gave you to do. And that's it for today, everybody. Go out in purpose with the underlying goal of, does what I do bring you glory? Because that's what it's about at the end of the day. Andrea said it. Michelle talked about it with Joshua and bringing those walls down. That's purpose work. It's getting back into alignment. It's being obedient. It's the waking up in the middle of the night when he's trying to tell you something and you want to turn back over and go to sleep. That's purpose all the time. He's always trying to tell us what the next move is. And it doesn't always make sense. But at the end of the day, again, am I finishing the work you're giving me to do? Did I do what you asked? And did it bring you glory? So happy 2021, everybody. Go out, be great.
Okay, we went from what's your diet to understanding your purpose is giving him glory. That our life gives him glory. Wow. And you know, that feeding into walls coming down, both internally and externally. So Andrea, even as you were sharing about the diet and people's appetite for things, what is it that you are seeing in this first month of January that leads you to believe that the stony heart is becoming flesh?
Yeah, a lot of finger pointing. I'm seeing way too much finger pointing. I'm seeing way too much gloating of, I told you it was coming, I see it's coming. And I'm like, y'all, we are given things so that we can prepare and to help each other. And I am finding that so many people would rather tear folks down to get their point across than to just say, let's sit down and work together. Let's figure this thing out together. That tells me that this is God. This is separating the wheat from the tares, right? If after all we've done, if after all the conversation we've had years and years of preparation. Folks have been saying this for a long time. Something is coming. Something is coming. Something is coming. And because it didn't come in the time that folks expected it to, it didn't come last week. It didn't come last month. It didn't come 5 years ago. Y'all are just false prophets, right? But it's not in our time. It is in God's time. And we saw the things happening. So instead of saying, repenting and saying, God, forgive me. Let me, what can I do to help my fellow man? It's every man for themselves. I'm seeing it. I'm taking care of myself. I'm not calling anybody and telling them what I'm doing. Like Michelle, I was sharing links with you. Here, I got this. Here, let's share that with that. We share with the family members. Talk to my siblings. Talk to people. Anybody who wants to know, we're sharing what we need to do. And so the folks who are pointing fingers and looking out for themselves only, God doesn't bless that. That's not a diet that's going to lead to anything but a heart attack, kidney stones, and everything else. It just doesn't. So that's what I'm seeing that makes me ask that question, right? And so we now have to search our hearts and say, what am I doing that I have to do differently? And that includes me. Every day I have to say, what did you do today, Andrea, that may have offended someone? Unintentionally, of course. And then I go back and I make those crooked straight plays straight. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you another example. So I had some new headshots done recently, and I had to call the guy that did my headshots. And I didn't like my first batch, the first set. But what I did was I didn't put the blame on him. I acknowledged my own responsibility because I had no energy in the shots. Right. I don't like sitting still. So I called him and I said, listen, can we figure out another way to do this? I thanked him for the rest of them, how fabulous they were. But these particular shots I didn't particularly care for. And he says, oh, Andrea, we can fix X, Y, and Z. Now, imagine if I had called him and said, you did a horrific job. I want my money back. You know, this was good, but you could have done better over there. Our words matter. Our words matter, the way we package them, the way we hand them over to people, the way we expect people to swallow them, our words matter. They do. So that's where I was coming from with that.
So I thank you, because in hearing the further explanation as to the diet, it leads right into Janelle's point with regards to purpose. So you're talking about how we engage, what we speak of, are we collaborating? And that leads right into the conversation is what we're doing giving God glory, right? Because if I'm not being kind, if I'm not sharing, if I'm not, I love how you said this, packaging my words so that people can, it's palpable. Right. Mm-hmm. And so to that end, Janelle, when you hear Andrea talk about packaging words and purpose, how do they link from a millennial perspective about what comes out from my head, out my mouth? and how does that impact purpose?
Wow, that is a loaded question. but I definitely, when I was listening to Andrea talk about just how we operate in the world, how we spend time with one another, take care of one another, and even in preparation for our conversation today, the things that kept coming up around purposed work was about who are you on the inside and how do you treat the people around you? Like, these are literally the thoughts that I was having. One of your first ministries is home. And a lot of times we forget, we're thinking about purposes out here. Purposes in this spot first. you know, we can do all that out here, but if this ain't right, we got a problem. And I don't think there's anything, and Minister Michelle, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's anything inside of the word that doesn't talk about you taking care of your home. Being purposed work, your marriage, your relationships, your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and things like that. So when you start to talk about being mindful of what you say, the things that we say have so much power. Every single thing that we utter from our mouths, whether it's, you know, speaking towards ourselves or speaking towards someone else, it has so much power. And God places us in positions purposefully, intentionally, to shift things. And if we're not paying attention to how those words are packaged, we can shift the trajectory that, like, God's trying to do this. He's like, okay, I put you here. I know I can count on you to do these things. And we're not obedient. We're not paying attention to what's coming out of here, which is also a piece of what's in here, our mind and our heart. We have the ability to push somebody off of that path. And now we got to do more work to get them back. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where all of the purpose and the being mindful of our words, all of those things are kind of just like in this gumbo, and they're all connected because we as individuals have power. We're given that power, but we don't always wield it correctly. And as Andrea was saying, we have to get to a place, and this is, I mean, the chickens have come home to roost. We've been in a pandemic. We've had time to sit down and reflect. Did we reflect or were we eating chocolate? I have some on my table. But where we eat chocolate, where we gaining 40 pounds, and that probably happened too. I gained about 10. But what else was happening? Were we going inward? Was I being mindful of, okay, what kind of energy am I sitting in? Am I good to people? How do people perceive me? Am I doing all that I know I'm called to do? Are there some things that are sitting in me that I haven't, like skills I haven't tapped yet? And some people really popped on that, you know, and said, you know what, I'm going to do this work. This is perfect time. I needed a break from work and being in the office and yada, yada, yada. But there's still people that haven't done it. And there's still this every man for himself. Everybody has to just take care of their one little spot. But if you have, give. If you have, share. That's how we're going to get to where we need to go. But I honestly think it comes from a place of mistrust, just in general. We don't trust each other. By and large, within families, sometimes we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust our neighbors. But we have to get to a place because we're going to have to rely a lot on one another in the coming days, in the coming years. And it's going to require us to be different individuals, different people for a collective good.
So, and I see the head nod. Go ahead, Andrea. Both of y'all, go ahead. I see the head nod.
You know, when we use our power, our individual power, to lead people astray or send them down a path of destruction with our words, with our tongue, we have to remember God holds us accountable for that. We keep thinking we get away with that foolishness, but God holds us accountable for that. And when we recognize that, then we're much more careful about casting judgment. It's not for us to do it. Even if we feel aggrieved in 1,000 ways, God is the one that gets the final say. So our diet must continue to consist of love and peace and harmony, right? You may not be able to be around and talk with the people that are being offensive to you, but if they ever need you, you still have to show up. That's the thing that I'm talking about. What's really in here? What's in here? Can someone who has harmed you and aggrieved you pick up the phone and call you if they ever need you? Or are you going to look at it and go, I ain't answering that? Well, who's God holding accountable for that? Right? And quite frankly, we have to get better at this. We can no longer keep putting up holy hands or whatever we do when praising the Lord in one breath and being subversive and nasty in the other. It doesn't work, y'all. It doesn't work. And it shows up on your countenance. It does. It does. And we can't mask it with dressing up and changing our hair color. And we can't mask it with a brand new car. And we certainly can't mask it with a cute somebody next to us, right? Because who you are on the inside shows up in manifest in ways large and small. So what are we doing? And this is the part that grieves my soul, because I can literally see, I see the souls dying. I see them dying because you're so caught up in, well, God got me. He said, once I'm saved, I'm saved. Yeah, but he still holds us accountable, right? He gives us free will, but he still holds us accountable. So what are we doing with the free will that we have? What is the diet that we're feeding ourselves every single day? You know, you can't put Brussels sprouts in for your physical body and put in subversive and nastiness and backtalking people for your mental body. Don't work. It does not work.
So even as we talk about walls crumbling down, right, we get excited that we're talking about the enemy, but most of what you and Janelle have been talking about is the enemy. So what walls have to come crumbling down inside of each and every one of us in order for us to have the appropriate diet and in order for us to give him glory? So how we show up is that in that season of 2020, he was taking down walls. He was shutting us in so that he could shut some things down within, or even so that he could uproot some things, turn over the soil. He's like, this you buried so deep, but I'm here. It's an excavation. I mean, that's been the word he's been giving to me. He's like, no. You buried that so deep, but it's still in you. So what I'm doing now is digging it out so that I can bring it forth so that it can come crumbling down. But that takes intentionality. That means I have to own I'm nasty.
Yang though, he slay me. Literally, you have to own it. And you see yourself, Michelle. You start to see yourself. You're right.
I have to own that I am a slayer with my words, and that is nothing to be proud of. I have to own that I have made people feel uncomfortable intentionally. I have to own that I love being right. And that I have to own that I make people uncomfortable because I become self-righteous. And so the walls that have to come down is not just about 1600. Because if his wall comes down and your nastiness is still up, that still means that there is still a problem with you. And so that internal work, because we do a lot of projecting over here, and this one did that, and that one did this. And God is saying, I'm not going to play anybody else's videotape when I'm talking to you at judgment. I'm not going to go play who scaled, Capitol. I'm not going to play, footage from anyone else's life but yours. And can you account for your thoughts? Andrea said, will you be kind or will you give to someone who has harmed you? And I had to say, no, I think I'm there, because here's the truth, right? We're going to be transparent. There's some folk that came to my mind that I was like, ooh, okay. Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to be able to do that, because you know what? She just triggered me into thinking about things that I had not, because the wall hadn't come down. The wall was still up.
And this is how, God works with us, Michelle. That happened to me recently where someone was just ripping me to shreds. And when I had the opportunity to bless them mightily, I did, until they were in tears. Like, I know you know that I have not treated you well, and yet you continue to, because it wasn't about me. It was about God saying, are you letting this stuff go, or are you walking around and you're holding this thing in your heart? And so I have to share this story with you. Last week, Friday, my doorbell rang, and it was someone that I love dearly, and they gave me a card and a book. And so I was like, I already got a gift from you. I take the card and the book and I go into my room and I open the book and I'm like, yep, another book to read. And I open the card and out dropped all this money. I mean, a lot of money. And the note said, when people told me no, You went and found it in your heart and told me yes, so that I could move forward. And even though you told me that it was not, you were not expecting anything in return, it brought me great joy to come back to you and lovingly say, thank you, and here's the money that you gave. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And so it's that, you know, do we keep track and do we keep count when we do good things for people? Do we expect people to always go, well, I remember when such and such did, give it and forget about it. Because I forgot. I literally forgot this, right? Gave it and forgot about it. So when we give and forget and we move on, God doesn't forget. He never forgets. So if he doesn't forget when we give and forget, you think he forgets when we give and talk about it? Think about it. Does God forget when we give and say, well, you know, I did such and such for her, or I did such and such for him, and I can't believe. We're only vessels being asked to do a good work. So if we're expecting all this wonderfulness to come behind the good work, then it's vanity. What is your diet? What is your diet?
Wow. If we're vessels expecting to get accolades behind all of this good work, then it's vanity. Come on, Janelle. I see your lip reading pretty much.
Yeah, I just said pretty much. You know, that she's hitting the nail on the head. I am enjoying listening to this because I'm over here like, absolutely, absolutely. That's right on point. There's nothing more to be said about that. I mean, when you are giving, and the other thing I'm thinking about is forgiving too. You know.
Because that's giving unto itself.
And forgiveness isn't necessarily for anybody else but us. It helps other people. But it's really for us. And Michelle, you were talking about that earlier, just with dealing with people that, I think Andrea, you brought it up. And you talked about it. And I actually was triggered by it too. When you say, can the person that offended you come to your door? And I said, well, yeah, they can. They can come to my door. I don't mean wow. that kind of way. But I mean, they can come in my door, and if they needed something, God has blessed, when I say, God has blessed me abundantly in my life, regardless of what I've gone through. So how dare I say no? I'm going to give it. Because guess what? Just like you said about, you know, I will get that back. I'm going to get it back. I always get it back. Not that I'm looking for it. But if he's given it to me, I can give it away. I can absolutely give it away. Because he's always giving me what I need. And I think sometimes we come into this hoarding spirit. Like, I got to just keep everything to myself because I don't know when I'm going to get it back. And you know, that is a poverty mindset. And some of us get it honest because we grew up that way. We grew up having to hoard and to save. And we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But when God gives you and he keeps giving you and he keeps moving you and he keeps pushing you, and you start to notice every time I move or anything that I need, I've always had that. You got to start shedding some of that stuff of feeling like you got to keep it all and you're afraid to lose it. He's giving you what you needed. So you can now open your heart to freely give and not just give it monetarily, forgiveness. Give that freely too. Somebody offends you. Yes, I'm upset about that, but you know how many times I've offended God? With things I've maybe said, I've done, I haven't been obedient, haven't been discerning, wasn't listening to him, was listening to myself. How dare I not forgive you? I might not like what you do. That might shift how I might interact with you a little bit. But if you come to my door, see, we get into the gritty questions of life. If the person shows up at my doorstep, cold and hungry, I honestly, in my human self, I'm going to think about some things. Do I want this in my house? Give me a second. Lord, let me go pray about this. But at the end of the day, if God is saying to me, I sent them there for this. All right, come on in. You hungry? Let me make sure you got something to eat. And you take a shower. What's going on? Let's talk about what's happening. And all the stuff that you might have done to me, I got to let it go. I have to let it go. Because clearly, you've been sent here for a reason. And I have to be mindful that maybe God is trying to do something in your life. And he sent you here to get whatever you needed from him. I ain't say from me. From him.
He also sent him so that you can know what forgiveness looks like.
Amen to that too.
You know, it's one thing to say forgiveness. It's another thing to exercise it. Because you don't know that you've forgiven until that forgiveness gets tested. Right? And that is the how. How do I let that wall come down? You know, when I think about that person, hurt shows up. Well, own that and stop trying to be so tough through it. Own that. What, get to the root of what shows up when that shows up. What shows up when that shows up, right? You know, walls can't come down if I can't own what shows up in me. And that's what I appreciate about me and Andrea, because she will give me the what for, right? Everybody else is kind of like, yeah, Michelle, well, you know, you try to take on too much. And, you know, they'll be like, well, we understand that you try to take on too much. She ain't trying to have no parts of understanding. She is not. I said some things at the close of one show, and she politely escorted everybody off. I need you to go. Tell her goodbye. Need you to go. Tell her goodbye, because I need to straighten her out. And you need that. You need someone that's going to tell you that you don't have to keep carrying it by yourself, because in your mind's eye, you feel like you do because of disappointment in the past, mm-hmm. because someone said that they would be there and when you needed them, they weren't there. You, all of this stuff, if it doesn't get done, then you're gonna end up doing it anyway. All of the stuff that's in my head around needing people and trusting that people will be, now I am there. If you tell me that this is what you need, you will not have to worry about it. If I say I'm gonna do it, I'm going to do it. But I don't always trust that's going to be done for me.
But so then what you have to do is trust God that he will
put in
spaces that will be there when you need it done. And that's the important part. Because people are going to always disappoint us. We are human beings, right? I started doing this segment with you. It's been now 3 years.
Four.
Hey, it shut up.
4 years in February.
Auntie, she gonna leave you and she not going and she and I shut the devil's mouth by being here every time you called up on me, because I made a promise to you. I didn't make a promise to Low Joe Blow and everybody else who want to yip, because some folk don't know when to shut their mouths, because they like doing the diet of diversion and subversiveness and trying to break people apart. You see, Michelle, and I've said this to you before, you and I have a different kind of relationship. It's been seared in honesty. We talk about things that we can't talk about with anybody else. Nobody would have expected us to even be friends, much less the respect that we have for one another.
Come on.
Right? But
come
it's 4 years in.
Yes.
All that conversation about she gonna get big, too big for her britches, and she gonna, we have to get people's foolishness out of our heads and continue to do what to do. What did God say? Where am I 4 years later? Huh? I'm not in Siberia somewhere. I'm sitting right here having this conversation with you, doing my segments. So sometimes folks, you know, and they put the seed of doubt. And what is designed to do, that is nothing but Satan. You know, we give God all the glory and forgot that Satan was one of God's angels that saw past himself, and God had to kick him out of heaven. And so when God kicked him out of heaven, he's doing everything he can to pull and destroy and all of that.
Come on.
We believe God's word and understand that people are not always going to be there for us, but also understand that those who are sent to be there for us will be there, come what may.
Yeah. And that's what you learn.
You shouldn't knock people, Michelle, when they decide that they're going to go, because that's God saying their time with you is over. Goodbye, so long, farewell, adieu, be good. Love still.
And that is what you learn to understand. Go ahead, Janelle.
Just about, and it'll be brief. But that is such a matter of the heart. All of it is such a matter of the heart, and how, because of the things, the way we've been done wrong and the ways that people haven't showed up for us, our heart kind of does like this. And it's really supposed to be like this. You know, it's a work. It's a hard work. But I definitely urge people, if you are still feeling, we talked about, you know, feeling that pain of someone offending us or doing different things, you know, pray for God to work on your heart.
And be willing.
And be willing.
Be willing. Don't just pray, because I could have prayed and done nothing. Faith without work. So I can't just pray about it. I have to be about it, right? So when it gets said over and over and over again, then it's not about a prayer. It's about, well, why won't I move?
Right.
That's what I'm encouraging folks.
Yes.
Move. There is work that has to be done. Ask for the work that has to be done and then do the work, because that is what it's about. It's about healing. And so if I don't let go what hurt, I can't be healed. And so in doing that, and it's painful to let go what hurt, because you're trying not to even observe that you got hurt, or you're trying to shut it away. But when you open up that thing and it comes out, you embrace, you almost hold on like you're getting your wisdom teeth pulled, because that's what it feels like. He's pulling it out of me. But I've come to appreciate that I have asked him, wring me like a wet rag till I'm dry. I don't want it deep-seated anymore. Whatever it is, whatever the it is, conscious or unconscious. Mm-hmm. Conscious or unconscious. So when we were talking about Jericho's walls, everybody's like, yeah. And they marched. What are you marching around your own heart? You don't got to march around somebody else's city. You don't have to march around somebody else's walls. March around your own till they come down. Because if we all take care of our own walls, then when someone else needs a wall to come down, then we can collectively go march around that wall. But if I haven't taken care of mine, how the devil am I going to help Andrea with hers? Too busy taking the plank out of somebody else's eye.
Yeah.
But you have to have people who will also be that honest with you. And we are just that honest. We are brutally honest and built to take it.
Yes. Hey, shout out, Mom.
Built to take. You can't want honesty and be a punk.
And be all ultra sensitive about it.
All in your feelings. But all in your feelings.
You said you got to be willing.
You and have to be willing. You
being willing to hear it.
Yeah. And that's what it is. I know I brace myself when she gets to Michelle. Uh-oh. You know, because that is an indication.
Yes, but you had to build that honest relationship with me. That would not have happened if I felt like I had to tiptoe around you and dance into the tulips. We both have very strong personalities. And you did it with me in the very beginning when I was shifting. I was telling people how I shifted and gave up everything that I was doing in 2016 so I could get to the place where I am in 2021. You literally sat me down and said, Missy, and we literally went round robin. Michelle will tell you.
Yes, Lord.
Personalities. I was like, look at here, look at here. She said, yeah, go do what I ask you to do so you can move and do what you need to do. And she was right. When I followed the instruction, I was able to be able to, 2021, I'm not concerned about the things that other people are still fighting and fussing about.
Come on.
Followed the instruction. I got out my feelings. I got out my feelings. I would say to her, I can't stand you right now. I'll call you back in a couple of minutes when I get myself together. I get myself together and I call her back and now what I need to do again. And I write it down and I go and I do it. So that's developing that authentic relationship where I didn't go, who does she think she is? And I'm sick and tired. We've got to stop that. What are we eating? What are we feeding ourselves? Right? If we can't be that honest with each other, then what friends do we really have? Let's talk about it now. If I got to tiptoe around you and tell you how wonderful you are all the time, child, please.
But when I needed a space.
Come on. Come on.
When I was tired. Mm. When I was on the road. There was a house that was always open.
Yeah. Yep.
And so no matter how many times in the year before she was like, I hate you, you're getting on my nerves. When the rubber met the road and she was just like, did you eat today? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I ate today, you know. And she would come ruffle feathers for me. Like, what the devil is going on in here? And you need that so that I didn't have to be the wall. There was a wall. And it makes a difference. And so when we are talking, I know folks are like, they're at it again. It's real talk.
Yeah.
It's real talk. And real talk that there are no capes. I'm so sick of a cape. Because I don't need to fly around town. No, I do not. My name is not Savior. Mm-mm. What I am is intentional about the work he's given to my hands. And so what happens is that I become more and more clear about purpose. And the clearer I become about purpose, it looks like I'm doing that much more. But the challenge is that now I know, nope, I can't do that because I got to do this. Nope, I can't be there because I have to do that. And purpose will fill out its own platter. You understand me? You do not need to add anything because purpose comes with a platter. Purpose does not come on this small little plate, you know, like your iPhone. Purpose don't come like that. I ain't never seen purpose like that. Purpose ain't never been this big, this size. So we thank you. There you go. Come on, girl. As usual, I love them and we are over time. So we thank you for joining us. The walls are coming down in 2021. You have to be intentional about it. I love you, Andrea. Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you.
God bless. Love you both so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Love you guys.
Getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go.